comes the sun and I say it's all right. Here comes the sun indeed to warm up and green up our vegetable gardens. If you think you're ready, you've already done some weeding, whacking, and you've been to your favorite seed store or have your online order on its way from the mail. And if it were that simple, gardening shows wouldn't be so popular, right? Joining us now are the co-authors of a new and unusual book. It's called No Nonsense Vegetable Gardening, Garden Coaches Tell All, No Guff, Lots of Fun. Horticulturist Steve Biggs and Donna Balzers. Welcome to the show.
Thank you
for having us, Anne.
If I don't have to say horticulturist again for the whole hour, I will be pretty happy. But Steve Biggs, you're a horticulturist. You're talking to us by phone from Toronto, right?
That's right.
And as Donna told me, a couple zones away, she lives in Calgary.
Right.
So thanks again for joining us long distance from two distant places. If anyone has a question or comment for the guests, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Why did you two get together to write this book in the first place, Donna?
Well, we were sitting together at a garden writing conference, and we just hit it off. You know, we both started talking about guff, and we said, oh, don't you hate it when people do this? And, you know, I don't know how we even got on that topic. But we decided that we were the no-nonsense gardeners, and we would have to work together.
Steve, now what do you mean by no-nonsense?
Well, there's rumors or ideas that circulate in the popular press, and sometimes they don't make sense for home gardeners. And Donna and I think the first thing that we talked about was soil tests. And you'll often see, well, before you garden, you have to test your soil. And we both found that a bit strange because it really can complicate things for people and intimidate them. So when we're talking about nonsense, we're talking about things that either don't make sense or maybe they're not practical for home gardeners.
All right. So true confession, I've had people on the show many, many times say, get your soil tested. And I have never done it.
I
just blatantly ignore them.
Yeah. And that's what we consider nonsense. What home gardener wants to spend hundreds of dollars getting a soil test? Because it changes every day. Every day it'll change. What you want is you want healthy plants. So you just have to keep striving for that.
You know, a lot of interest in the book is in the design. It's filled with content, no question about it, but it's like a graphic novel of gardening. How did you come up with that?
Well, before we started writing, but before we got to the layout part of the book, we looked at all sorts of books and magazines that are out there, and we were trying to think of what would be fun, what would be engaging, because I think sometimes books can intimidate people. You get blocks of text and photos, and it can be a bit dry. So we want it to be the opposite of that. We want it to be fun. We want to help new gardeners get started.
The no guff part of it, who are you talking to when you say no guff?
Everybody, even my own husband. We were on the golf course. I don't know. It's sort of a trend where when people have a long weekend, they get into gardening. And so that might be the Memorial Day long weekend or, you know, whatever long weekend, sometime in May. Mm-hmm. And people will say, no matter where they live, whether it's California or whether it's, well, you know, Toronto or Calgary, they always say, oh, you have to garden, you know, on this weekend. My husband comes home from the golf course last week and he says, Donna, I was talking to some guys. They said the best time to garden, you know, it was on that long weekend in May. And I said, we cover that as guff in the book or nonsense. Because I call some plants the suffragettes, the ones that are the cold, hardy.
Yeah.
And suffragettes, they're out early. They can be out early. Why would you wait to plant, even if you're in a cold climate like Calgary or, say, Denver or New Mexico, where the cold, you know, it's cold in the spring, you're high elevation. Why would you wait to plant those till later? Because they can handle frost.
There is a certain timing associated with when the soil's ready. And I was surprised this year, you know, we had such a snowy and really, really cold winter in central Ohio. I was expecting to have to wait longer to get to work the soil. And I was working it last weekend, which is sometimes maybe two weeks ahead of schedule. It's warming. It's crumbling in my hands. It's
right.
Working. And
right.
I was glad I went out and checked.
Use your own common sense, I think, is the thing. Don't use some kind of prescribed notion. And I think that's what guff is, all the prescribed notions. How to do this, how to do that. The other thing, Steve and I argue back and forth quite a bit because
right. We
just say, you know, it might be guff here, but it's not guff for him. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? So we have some different opinions.
Yes.
We added that he says, she said dynamic to the book. And actually that came about because when we were writing the book, we did start to disagree about things. And we thought, so how do we do this? How do we write one book from two people who are disagreeing on a subject? And we thought, well, let's do a he said, she said type of approach. And I think the nice thing about that is that it helps people see that there's more than one way to garden. There's more than one way to do most things. And so there's not always one right way.
Does how you garden have very much to do with where you garden? So, Steve?
I don't think so. Okay. It has more to do with your own personality, how
okay.
you garden. There's so many different styles. I call it the Julia Child versus the potluck style. There's just so many ways to go about it. And if you're doing the Julia Child garden, you are definitely going to want things in perfect rows. You're going to want nice little arches and angles and, you know, decorator items in your garden. And you're going to want to start and do everything by a really specific prescription. But if you're a potluck gardener, you're just going to say, come on over, we're going to just put some plants in, and you're going to mix and match a bit. So it's not the same way. You know, different ways to do the same thing. You all end up with peas at the end of the summer, but, you know, different approaches.
So let's get down to the nitty-gritty soil. What makes good soil? How does an average, normal person know whether the soil is good or not? Let's say at the beginning of the season before they plant anything.
Well, so, you know, maybe we'll just even take one step back, and both Donna and I tell people that there's this notion sometimes you have to buy in soil if you want to garden. And so we always say to people, well, instead of buying soil, you can also build your soil. And so that's the first thing to think about. And when it comes to building the soil, organic matter, decomposed leaves and manure, compost, these are all things that really do a lot to improve the structural properties of soil and also bring nutrients to it.
And I'd like to say you reach in, you touch the soil. People are afraid to touch soil. I don't know why they're afraid. I love soil.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so fun. You get your hands right in. Touch it. Take it in your hand. Squeeze it. If you then can touch it and it falls apart and crumbles, as you said earlier, your soil's nice and what we call friable, it just kind of crumbles and it feels good and looks
mm-hmm.
good. That's great. But if you pick it up and you squeeze it gently and it turns into a hard rock clod, then you've probably got clay soil. If you've got clay soil, can I tell a little story? Do we have time for stories?
Heck yeah.
if you've got clay soil, it's because the clays, the way they form in the soil, they're little sheets, little piles. They're all stacked up like little pieces of paper, and they're all negatively charged, kind of that James Dean thing. They're all putting their elbows out, and they're attracting nutrients, but they're sticking together. But you put compost in, it's got negative charge as well, and it's got its elbows out. That compost gets in between, wedges itself in between. It's like two magnets, two negatively charged magnets, and it pushes it apart. So you end up with nice, loose, friable soil when you add compost to your clay. It makes such a difference.
When you add compost to clay, how much should you work it in at first?
We have different opinions on that.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I usually work in my compost in the fall. In the spring, my garden is pretty wet, and it's hard to get in there early enough to work it in. So
okay.
I put it in the fall, and usually 6 inches or so is how deep I put it in.
I tend to like, once I've got my garden set, now it's different if you're making a new garden.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just starting out, you're going to need to do, you know, something brand new. But I don't like to turn my soil. I love what we call the lasagna method, where you put down, say you've got a lawn today and you want to have a garden tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You put down a piece of cardboard, you put down some leaves that you saved from last fall's garden, you put some compost on top of that, and then you finish the whole works off with just 3-4 inches of soil. And you could actually plant directly into that, and your garden will be ready to grow in a week. So then in the future, when you want to add more compost, I just top dress with that compost. So I have my compost pile many, many different kinds of compost. I love compost. I'm always experimenting there. I just top dress the beds once they're going because I don't think there's any real need to keep digging and digging and digging. I think the whole digging thing is kind of nonsense.
So you can see, Anne, we're into one of our he said, she said narrative here.
You like to work it all out, work it all up.
I do. You get all your frustrations out when you do that digging.
I leave the leaves on the garden. You know, we've got a gazillion leaves. We have to plant everything in quite the middle of the yard because we have so many trees.
Right.
And then there's one garden that just gets a lot of leaves on it. And I just leave them on there all winter long. And I've been told that's a good thing to do, and I think it's a good thing to do. But when's a good time to start taking those leaves off, or do you ever have to really take them all off?
Well, I don't think I wouldn't.
You don't. Some people will work those into the garden. Mm-hmm. I have a big leaf composter at the back of my yard,
mm-hmm.
and so I collect my leaves and my neighbor's leaves, and I compost them all to the side back there. But again, this is a thing where there's not necessarily one right way. Some
right.
people will dig them in, some will compost them. My former neighbors would just leave all their leaves on the garden, hoping they would blow into the neighbor's yard by springtime.
Hey, there's all those little microorganisms that start to act like glue, and they stick all the leaves together, and that is the only problem with leaving them on forever.
Yes.
Because if you're trying to do seeding, say you've got very fine seeds that you're getting out, they're little, you know, lettuce seeds or something, you're trying to get them in, you just can't get them into the soil. But if you're transplanting, if you've started your lettuce indoors, and, you know, I'm in such a cold climate, I have to start most things indoors.
Mm-hmm.
I start them indoors, you get a little week ahead, little head start, then you bring your little transplants outside, you're using your trowel to break through that little crusty bit of leaves, and you'll find that that will help to provide a nice, even sort of soil. It'll be like a mulch on your garden if you can leave it on. Now, again, repeating, you can't leave it on if you're seeding.
Right.
It's better if you are transplanting. But I do transplant a lot. I find tomatoes and, you know, almost everything. The only things I don't transplant are things, the really cold hardy things, like I said earlier, the spinach, because mm-hmm. I like to let that seed in the fall. But everything else I transplant in.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. More of this conversation with Stephen Biggs and Donna Balzer, co-authors of No Nonsense Vegetable Gardening, to come. But first, membership manager Rob Walker and morning news anchor Steve Brown are here for an update on our spring membership drive.
And thank you very much, Ann. We are still running a little bit behind, but we can meet our goal only with your help when you pledge your support to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Just pick up the phone and call 1-866-897-9678 or pledge at WOSU.org. And we know that you count on 89.7 for clear, concise reporting of the news that matters, and we count on you to keep that news on the air. That's what makes our annual financial relationship so important with our listeners. Please consider that gift of $50, $100, whatever fits into your budget. It all adds up to help us pay for programs like All Sides with Ann Fisher. So please, again, the website where you can pledge, WOSU.org. You can also use the WOSU Public Media mobile app, or you can call 1-866-897-9678.
And we have a very special thank you gift this hour for listeners of All Sides. It's the book, No Nonsense Vegetable Gardening. Make a pledge right now as a $10 a month sustainer or a $120 one-time gift, and this book is yours. The reference book is written by Ann's guest today. If you're enjoying the conversation, then you'll love to have this as a thank you gift. The book is fun and funny and is packed with essential information for every gardener. The book includes great gardening advice, easy-to-read charts, and a lot of helpful pictures and whimsical illustrations. Learn that lettuce is pretty easy to take care of in your garden, but artichokes are more difficult. It's a good lesson. Call us right now at 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org. Become a sustaining member at $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120. And our gift to you is the book, The No-Nonsense Vegetable or No-Nonsense Vegetable Gardening.
1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org. And it is almost planting season here in Central Ohio, everybody getting those gardens ready. And like always, All Sides with Ann Fisher discusses the issues impacting life in Central Ohio, whether it be gardening or politics at the State House, politics at City Hall, local business leaders, university professors, authors, more and more. It's all kinds of different kinds of guests. It's a really eclectic, insightful program, a two-hour daily talk show. It's unique here in Central Ohio. and we need your support to keep it on the air. Please pledge when you go to WOSU.org or when you call 1-866-897-9678.
Well, it's simple to become a sustaining member today or a one-time gift. Just call our volunteers or go online at WOSU.org. And don't forget, when you do that, at the $10 a month sustaining membership level, the No Nonsense Vegetable Gardening Book is our gift to you as our way of saying thank you for your support of 89.7 NPR News. Just a couple minutes ago in this membership opportunity, then we'll go back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. But first, please go online at WOSU.org, use the WOSU mobile app on your smartphone, or call us at 1-866-897-9678.
And this book, No Nonsense Vegetable Gardening, it really is a fun, easy-to-use book. It's simple, no-nonsense gardening advice. No, it's not complex, no misinformation in there. It's arranged around Peter Rabbit-style illustrations, full-color photographs, easy-to-use charts, he says, she says dialogue. It's a really great book. It's really worth that $10 a month pledge level. So please make the pledge and get the book, No Nonsense Vegetable Gardening. Help you get in that garden here in the next few weeks. Call 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org.
And just about a minute, we'll get back to All Sides with Ann Fisher and the guest today talking about gardening. No Nonsense Vegetable Gardening, that's the book that we're offering. I like the subtitle, Garden Coaches Tell All. No guff, lots of fun. A one-time gift of $120 this hour only or a $10 a month sustaining membership level will take care of that for you. Once again, we've got some very nice folks ready to take your call, or you can go online at WOSU.org. If you're there, you can see some of the other thank you gifts from All Sides with Ann Fisher in case you want to go back to a show that you heard a couple of days ago. But we're asking you right now to become a financial contributor at 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org.
And we say it over and over, every dollar makes a difference. It really does. Listeners have pledges ranging from $5 to $500 and beyond. And all this money adds up to help pay for programs like All Sides with Ann Fisher. So please ensure your future listening here on All Sides. Call 1-866-897-9678 or pledge at WOSU.org.
Support comes from Green Bean Delivery, providing organic produce and natural groceries delivered direct to customers' doorsteps with products from local and regional farmers and artisans. Orders can be customized at greenbeandelivery.com.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guests are the co-authors of a new gardening book. It's called No Nonsense Vegetable Gardening. Garden Coaches Tell All, No Guff, Lots of Fun. Donna Balzer and Stephen Biggs. Welcome again to you both of you for joining us today.
Thanks, Ann.
Thanks. Great to be here.
We're in a phase of early spring. I know I can just work the soil now and have been weeding and generally clearing out. You have a guide in the book for 10 crops for an early spring start. So what made the cut?
Well, I'm definitely a lettuce fan. I just love to have salads daily. And I'm definitely, I like to have kale too, but we missed kale on our list. So I want everyone to get the book and pencil that in.
Okay.
What's your favorite, Steve?
Arugula is my favorite, and that's one that I start even when we have snow on the ground here. I get it going in a cold frame, and arugula grows very well in those cool temperatures. And the nice thing about arugula, if you grow it in the summertime, there's a little bug called a flea beetle that pecks holes all through the leaves. Mm-hmm. But if you grow it at this time of year, that bug isn't out yet, so you get beautiful-looking arugula.
What do these plants have in common that they can survive early spring weather?
You know, they're just, a lot of them are in the same family. Like, you know, we've got the broccoli and the cabbage and the Brussels sprouts. All include, they're all in the same family, and they've got extra, it's not insulation, but it's like antifreeze inside of them that allows them to tolerate cold. And you'll see them come through several degrees, you know, of below freezing. They just can do it. And, I think it's just that they're able to do that. Often it's calcium in your soil, though. People will find their lettuce, edges of the lettuce turns brown and sort of freezes, and sometimes that's a sign of low calcium in your soil.
Another thing to keep in mind, too, is that sometimes particular varieties or cultivars will do better in certain times of year. So spinach, there's one variety that I've been buying that's very good when I planted in late February. It's about twice as fast as any other ones that I've tried. So picking the right one also
helps.
Is that
the Bloomsdale? Steve?
No, the Bloomsdale I tend to grow in the summer. And okay. I found one, I think it was called Speedy Spinach, but it does well in those short days that we get in February, and much faster than the Bloomsdale at that time of year.
No, Anne's scratching her head. She says, I haven't seeded anything yet.
I've done seeding before, I have, but I haven't since giving birth, I have to admit.
Yeah.
I sort of do the line. I'm going to ask my listeners, if you have a question or comment, here's a couple of gardening experts on the phone for you, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. If you don't give us a call and ask your questions, I'll keep asking my questions. And one of them has to do with Brussels sprouts. When I was reading your book, I was surprised to read. And when you say, why would you be surprised? I don't know. Maybe I misread something else in the past. But that you can start, you should start Brussels sprouts at the end of the summer. Did I read that right? Or are you?
No.
Okay.
I'm not sure that you did. I start my Brussels sprouts anytime about now.
And
yeah.
How?
Yeah, I do too.
How fast should they grow, and how do you know when they're done?
Well, you know, something that's interesting about Brussels sprouts, I was talking to a market gardener about them last year. And the market gardener's comment was that she and a lot of other market gardeners she knows don't bother with Brussels sprouts because they take so long. They tie up that patch of the garden all summer and into the fall.
Oh, but they're so yummy.
Yeah, and I love the taste of Brussels sprouts, but I think from a business perspective it makes sense. They want things they can turn over quickly. So Brussels sprouts, you can count on starting them indoors now if you want,
okay.
And then they will take up till the fall before they're ready.
You know, they're very ornamental, too. I find that sometimes people are trying to slide vegetables into their flower gardens, and I find just the appearance of a Brussels sprout is very ornamental. So I might not be the kind of person that would dedicate a whole row somewhere because I have such a small garden, but I might slide a few in. I might buy a little six-pack at the garden center and just slide a few in as a little bit of a backgrounder into another flower garden. And you will find when you start to do this, people will ask, what is that really interesting plant in the back of your bed? Because they're not expecting it. You know, they're not expecting to see that. But I have, in the past, made a huge mistake with Brussels sprouts.
Oh, yeah. Well, we did last year.
Did you make a huge mistake? Did you forget to cut them back?
Okay, well, yeah, we were supposed to cut them back. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Well, just a little bit, you know. Everything has, whether it's an apple tree or a tomato, everything has a growing point, and it's going to make that plant get taller and taller and taller.
Right.
And there's a little bit of auxin in that growing point. And as long as that plant can get taller, why would it bother sprouting on the sides? Why would it bother sending out side sprouts? It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And one day I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know, I always try to tip back my plants that are getting out of hand, my garden plants, sometime in the summer, but I haven't done my Brussels sprouts. And the logic just sort of popped into my head. Pinch off the growing point sometime in early to mid-August, and that will force the sprouts to sort of sprout. They'll come out on the sides. And I think that's just the best way to do it.
The sprouts sprouted, but they never seem to get very big.
Yes, well, then you probably need more water, and that's
going
to be, you know, when we talk about sustainability going forward, it's going to be really hard to get enough water. I think you and I talked before we went on air that all the lettuce in North America is coming from not various places in North America, but it's all coming from California. 9 out of 10 heads of lettuce are grown in California. And I was there this January in California, and I was quite surprised when they said it hadn't rained for a year.
Yeah. Which means...
So what does that mean? That means we're not going to be able to get the lettuce we think we're going to be able to get into the future, right? They don't have the water. So people can do that in their own yards. I think it's a food security issue. It's not just fun. I think it could be a food security issue. And lettuce, you know, from seed can take 60 days to being a head.
Right.
So it's a great thing to get started with, I think. If you seed it today, if you can go out and get some lettuce today and seed it indoors today, regardless of where you are or where you live, if you seed it today, it'll germinate within a day or two. Now, if you've got it on a heating pad, it'll germinate in 24 hours. So it's very exciting.
Kendra, you're on the air with Donna Balzer and Steve Biggs. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I am actually just... We just moved into a new home, And there's a small area that has not, that is like a mound of dirt right now. And I just wanted to know if I wanted to try and start a garden, not having a green thumb, what kind of plants and when and where should I start with?
That's a good question, Kendra. You know, first of all, we're big on gardening being fun, so we often talk about growing what we call wow crops, but things that you might not find in the store. And so an example of that would be colored carrots versus the orange ones we get at the store all the time, or something, ground cherries, which are fun for kids.
Ground cherries?
Mm-hmm.
What are those?
So ground cherries are a small fruit, about the size of a thumbnail, but they're enclosed in a papery husk.
The little orange fruits?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. You know, Kendra, I would say they're edible, and I could use them like I would use any other kind of fruit.
They're edible, and you use them as you would a fruit, yeah. You can use them as a garnish on a plate, make jams, pies. But
my first question to Kendra would be, how much light do you have? Because if you have light, you're in one category. If you're under, like Anne, she's got quite a bit of shade in her garden. She has to grow her garden out in the middle of the yard. So she doesn't have, you know, she doesn't have the light. She has to find the light. So where is your pile of soil? Is that a good area? Do you have lots of light there? Or are we going to have to recommend to you shade-loving plants?
Okay, Kendra. So think about the light. Kendra's, we disconnected Kendra, but thank you, Kendra, for that call. We appreciate it. Rachel in Granville, you're on the air. Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you. How are you guys?
Hi, Rachel.
Great.
Hi. I have a question about companion planting. I grew my first ever garden last year and really got beat up by cabbage moths. And so I started reading on the internet about companion planting, and unfortunately, the more you read, the more people contradict each other.
Uh-huh.
So do you guys have any advice on pursuing reliable information regarding companion planting?
I think, this is Donna now, I think this is nonsense. I think that it's based on, I read the two books that were written on this, and it's a 40-year-old, 50-year-old information. It is not actually going to keep bugs away per se. You are better and smarter if you want to grow cabbage to cover it with a product called Rime, or they have other brand names, but it's a fleece kind of product that will keep the moths from laying their eggs on your cabbage. The other thing is, the better your soil, the fewer pests you will attract, because it's a weak plant. It's always the weakling that gets bullied, and in the garden it's the same way. If you have weak growing plants, it's always the one that you will see a plant with holes in it and right beside it, you know, not. So the soil will sometimes be a really big effect. So for you, I wouldn't try to grow a marigold beside your cabbage to stop the bugs from growing, because marigolds will only stop, and they give off an exudate that stops nematodes, which is a little soil-borne bug, but they won't help at all with your cabbage moths. You have to actually put up a barricade. You have to get out there with the big guns on this one. You have to put up a barricade. And I don't like to spray, so I do it that way. I do put up a barricade.
Like an actual what?
Piece of cloth. It's a
like
it looks
burlap
like
or something like that?
No. Spun bond polyester.
It looks
polyester,
a bit like cheesecloth.
Okay.
It looks like cheesecloth, yeah. And you can... Not that hard to do, really. And once you've got, or over time, as you fix up your soil, you'll find you get fewer and fewer pests. Now, the one tip in companion planting that I do like and that everyone should use is to plant a lot of flowering plants near your vegetable garden, things like dill and fennel, things like alyssum, because they will attract the beneficial insects, the good bugs. Now, the good bugs aren't going to get rid of your cabbage moths. They're not going to do that, but they'll get rid of a lot of the other small insects like aphids. So if you plant alyssum, you are going to be really like a magnet for lady beetles, and they're going to come in and help you out. You're going to be like a magnet for, you know, all of the other little insects like lace wings that will come into your garden. And so I would definitely start doing that kind of planting, and that would be my version. It wouldn't be the official. There was officially a book about companion planting, and that is, I think, now been shown to not be that accurate. But I would definitely plant a lot of flowers that attracts the good bugs.
Rachel, thanks a lot for that call. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. More of my conversation about gardening is still to come. But first, here's morning news anchor Steve Brown and membership manager Rob Walker to talk about supporting 89.7 NPR News right now.
Thank you very much, Ann. And we are asking listeners to support right now by calling 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org. Did you know 89.7 NPR News relies on listener contributions to pay for programs like All Sides with Ann Fisher and NPR's reporting and analysis on All Things Considered and Morning Edition? It's a fact. And now during a membership drive, we're asking you to act on that fact by becoming a contributing listener to 89.7. $50, $100, $200, $10 a month, whatever it is that fits in your budget, just pick up the phone now and call 1-866-897-9678 or give at WOSU.org.
And we have a very special gift this hour for All Sides listeners only, and that is when you make a $10 a month sustaining membership level or a one-time gift on your credit card of $120, we'll be happy to offer you the book No Nonsense Vegetable Gardening as our thank you gift. This is a fun and informative book. The book includes lots of pictures and illustrations so that you can see what the text is talking about. For example, learn about planting ruffled kale and see what the picture looks like. The book has easy-to-read charts that tell you which vegetables are easy to grow and which ones are a little bit more difficult. It's a great reference book, and it's our gift to you this hour for a $10 a month sustaining membership level or your one-time gift of $120 on your credit card at 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org.
Again, the phone number to call 1-866-897-9678 or pledge at WOSU.org. And Anne and her staff, all the producers, they work really hard to bring you these diverse range of topics that you hear every day. It's news of the day or long-term trends or advice on gardening or diet and exercise on Wellness Wednesday or the latest gadgets on Tech Tuesday. Anne also talks to people who live right here in Columbus. When the staff looks for an expert, they often turn to Ohio State University. Sometimes they have to turn to experts in Europe and Asia. It's a really diverse show. You'll hear a lot of different voices, chief among them you. You can be part of the show via email or calling into the show or Facebook or Twitter. It's a really interactive kind of community gathering place, All Sides with Ann Fisher. So support All Sides. Make it a truly local pledge. Make it a truly local show. Visit WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678.
It's very simple to give to 89.7 NPR News. You can give as much as you'd like right now. A $10 a month commitment gets you that great thank you gift. But more importantly, you're joining the 1,000 people or so who have contributed this membership drive to help us reach our goals. So we're asking you to be part of that. It's simple to do. Call 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org. And when you do, as a $10 a month sustaining member, we'll send you the No Nonsense Vegetable Gardening book as our way of saying thank you for supporting All Sides with Ann Fisher. 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org.
And this is a really fun book, the No Nonsense Vegetable Gardening book. It's full of fun illustrations and full-color photographs, easy-to-read charts, dialogue between the characters, between the cartoon characters in the book. They talk about science of gardening, and they really put it into a language that everyone can understand. It's really approachable. It's not as intimidating as some gardening books can be. And that's your gift at the $10 a month level when you pledge your support to 89.7, when you pledge your support to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Just pick up the phone and call 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org.
And just about a minute, we'll get back to more of All Sides with Ann Fisher and her guest today talking about the No Nonsense Vegetable Gardening book. And that is our gift to you for a $10 a month sustaining membership level or a one-time gift of $120. The book is fun and funny and is packed with essential information that every gardener needs. For example, lettuce easy, artichokes hard. That's true. It's very hard to grow artichokes, especially around here. So please call or go online right now and show your support for 89.7 NPR News and All Sides with Ann Fisher and take advantage of this gift. Simple and easy to do at 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org.
Support for WOSU comes from the Columbus Foundation. 70 years strong this year. 7 decades of providing philanthropic resources for generous people all across Central Ohio. More at columbusfoundation.org.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher, my guests, co-authors of No Nonsense Vegetable Gardening, Donna Balzer, and also Steve Biggs. If you have a question or comment about vegetable gardening, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Can we talk about crop rotation? I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I have to have tomatoes, and I'm not going to move some of my herbs, at least the ones that come back every year.
I think we're back to one of those he said, she okay. said again. And what I usually tell people is that the theory behind crop rotation is excellent, and that's what commercial farmers do. The problem is sometimes in a backyard, in a urban setting, we don't have space, you were saying, with your tomatoes. And I have the same problem. I have one spot where I can grow tomatoes. So the theory's good, but it doesn't always work in a home garden. And so what I always say is take care of the soil, and there's less likely to be problems. Donna?
Well, if you're trying to grow everything in the same family, all of the cabbages, for instance, rotating with Brussels sprouts and broccoli, and you're just going to find that they take out little individual elements that we don't even know. We can't even understand how they digest and get their food properly, but they take the same things. It's like going to a buffet, and they're just eating all the pickles. And then you look at the buffet, there's no pickles left. Well, it's what certain families of plants do, and they're just really heavy feeders. So if you don't rotate at all, and tomatoes would be the one exception because people love tomatoes, so I actually encourage them to just specialty fertilize their tomatoes so okay. that they don't have to move them, because there are special tomato fertilizers as well as adding compost, which we always do, because tomatoes are very heavy feeders as well, and they particularly need calcium and other micronutrients. So I'm going to say that I would attempt, if I have a big garden area, to move things around, and we have a little section on that in the book. Did you see that, Anne? It's
mm-hmm.
the little vegetables are seated at the table.
And, oh, yes,
you know,
yes.
Yeah, and they just, you know, it makes you laugh, doesn't it? That it's just a way to get...
Well, the poor little carrot.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a way to rotate because some plants are heavier feeders. What will surprise most people is that potatoes are a heavy feeder. People always think that potatoes are put in early in a, you know, when you're breaking a new land for farming, you put your potatoes in first because you think, oh, potatoes, oh, they'll help the soil. Actually, potatoes are just super heavy feeders. They'll take everything. They're just hogs. They're going to be at that buffet with three platefuls of food, and they're going to really need a lot of support. So I would say to you, don't rotate if you're willing to really do a lot of extra soil work. But if you don't rotate and you get pests, don't call me.
No. Now, where we were growing those pathetic Brussels sprouts last year, maybe grow carrots there this year.
Yeah, I think that would be a good rotation. But really even better after
yeah.
something like that in the cabbage family is to grow plants that are in the legume, the peas and beans.
Okay.
Peas can actually, they have those little odd nodules on them, and we have a photograph of that in the book. Those little nodules actually are little homes for nitrogen, so they've got their own little bacteria in there that make their own nitrogen. So imagine a self-fertilizing plant. Mm-hmm. When the peas are gone, that nitrogen is left behind in the soil. So we always say before you plant something like you were talking about your Brussels sprouts,
uh-huh.
something that's going to be a really heavy feeder. Something that's going to really put back into the soil. Something,
okay.
or not heavy feeder, but heavy provider. So the peas and beans will do that for you.
And it wouldn't matter if it's what kind of peas, snap peas,
no,
sugar
no.
peas?
No, no, doesn't matter at all. Doesn't matter
all right.
at all. And if you don't see those little nodules on your peas when you pull them up, then you know that you need maybe some help. You need to go to someone that has a garden that has successfully growing peas, and you need to get a little bit of their soil because the good bacteria is right there in the soil.
Yeah, you mentioned that in the book. Just go to somebody you know who has good soil and just borrow, what, a bucketful, a scoopful?
A little bucketful.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all you need and broadcast it around.
Kind of just start, get kind of like starting a, okay.
I want to do a shout out to your great zoo in Toledo because I used to work with Nancy, the horticulturist there when I worked at the zoo in Calgary. And, you know, we often did, you know, talked back and forth, even though we're in different areas.
It's uh-huh.
the same kind of thing with gardening. And one of the things is to get good soil and get your garden growing that way.
Judy in Columbus, you want to talk about how to get good soil and manage it, get it from a compost pile well managed. Welcome to the show, Judy.
Yeah, thanks. What I have is two crates of green beans, and they're a little too iffy to eat, so so I want to use them for compost.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid if I put them in the compost pile, animals, rats, whatever, will come and eat them. So I thought about just putting them into the ground of the garden beds, and maybe even digging up a couple inches of dirt and just spreading the beans in a little layer or whatever. Would that work? Would they decompose quick enough to make spring gardening?
Well, I guess, first of all, I'll tell you what I do here, Judy, is I have a couple of different compost areas, and where I compost leaves from the garden, it doesn't attract vermin, so I'm not worried. But where my kitchen scraps go, I've put some hard wire mesh around the composter that keeps the vermin out. So then I can do things like compost those green beans or fruits, bits of fruit, whatever, and the rats and the mice don't get in there. So that could be one approach to take. What kind of composter do you have?
It's mostly leaves and just a little bit of stuff that comes out of the refrigerator.
Oh.
Yeah. It's just me. I don't
you can
like a
bury
lot of
it.
Weight, so.
You can bury it. But if you have a dog, I have a dog, she goes and she digs up those spots.
Yeah,
I tried that for a few years, and I think if the dog can find it, I think the raccoons and the other animals are going to be right there. Big, just may as well put up a big neon sign, snacks available over here. I actually like to use the worm bin for that kind of thing, and I have a worm bin that I like.
Okay.
And I put those odds and sods into the worm bin because I'm thinking that then they can go from there back into the garden. It's still all going to be recycled in your garden, but it gives gives an opportunity for something else to work on it before the raccoons get there.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, the thing about the dogs is they do keep down the groundhogs.
But if you don't have dogs or you don't worry about this, then you could bury it. I know a lot of people that do that, and it's pretty fast. You'll bury it in spring, and you won't be able to find it in the fall. So it's pretty fast.
Okay, great. Thanks. All right.
Thanks, Judy. If anybody else there has a question or comment for my guests, Donna Balzer and Steve Biggs, co-authors of No Nonsense Vegetable Gardening, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513. Let's talk about urban gardening for a minute. There's been suggestions in Columbus. There's a lot of urban gardeners in Columbus now. It's very popular, and a lot of composting, urban composting, and some people have said that the composting is part of the burgeoning rat problem in Columbus. Mm. Are those kinds of pests, along with raccoons, that can be attracted to composts? And are there ways to construct a compost system that discourages them?
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. I mean, rats are pretty opportunistic,
mm-hmm.
raccoons.
They're
so
very smart.
If we put the stuff out there, then certainly they do find it. So, and then back to what I do with my kitchen waste is I just put the composters I use for kitchen waste, I put some of that hardwire mesh cloth around them where there were openings, and that keeps out the critters.
Okay, but still aerates them properly.
Yeah, that's right.
Of
so
course,
still aerated, but where there were a couple of holes where an animal could get in, those are now covered with this wire mesh, so it keeps the animals out. So I think that's a pretty simple solution.
Mm-hmm.
I think the key is not to complicate gardening so much that people don't want to do it. So,
well, I did the turning compost as well. I've got one of those outside. Now, that's something everyone might not be able to afford. It's a little bit
those
more
are guff, Donna.
I like my turning compost.
Now, when you say turning composter, that's one of the kind of bins that you spin around?
Yeah, and people can make their own using a barrel, or you can buy them. And just the turning is so hard to turn. It's so hard to get out there and physically turn your compost sometimes.
Yeah, it's hard. It's very hard for me.
Yeah, so if you can't do it and you still want to add kitchen scraps because you don't want to go into worms, some people are, you know, scared of worms. If you don't want to do that, then, you know, you have to have a way of turning it. And I've had hardware wire, and it's pretty good, but, you know, there's cracks and crannies. I had a little half-inch opening getting into my greenhouse, and I had several families of mice living in there. So back to your question of is composting leading to extra rats in the population, I'd say in a lot of cases it is, because people are just throwing their goods on a pile. They're just putting a pile out there, and that's not going to be good enough in an urban setting. I think in a small urban setting, you do need to think about how you're going to contain your compost. You might do it with worms. You might do it with, as Steve does, the hardware wire, or you might buy a turning composter.
Okay.
Is that shocking?
Yeah, no. What's shocking is I'm trying to actually work my phone system here. Ala in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Ala.
Hi. I just had a quick question for you. I have some about a 4x8 year, and my lot is really towards a wooded area, almost as a wetland, actually. And I didn't know if you had any suggestions on things that I could plant there that would do well, and also things I might need to do to the soil so that, you know, it doesn't get too saturated.
So when you say it's wooded, you're saying there's a fair bit of shade there, is that right?
Yes, it's wooded, it's shaded, and it probably holds a little bit more moisture than I would want, but, you know, that's all I have.
When you get into situations that are partial sun, partial shade, what you'll find is a lot of the leafy greens tend to be the better choices. They'll perform decently in those conditions. So I'd be looking at things like Swiss chard and spinach and lettuce, those sorts of things. And in terms of it being wet, then this might be a situation where you want to just make a raised bed. And a raised bed can be very simple or very complicated. What I do for a raised bed is I just I rake up the soil, add lots of compost, a bit more soil, and rake it up so it's maybe 6 inches above ground level. Some people, of course, they build framing with wood or stone, but you don't have to
do that.
That's not
me, yeah.
Yeah, you can keep it simple.
Okay. Or I question if you don't have space. I remember Joanne's balcony. Do you remember that, Steve? We had to go in her house. We had to go upstairs. We had to go through her bedroom, into the bathroom, open the window, and go outside. And she had a little tiny patio out there where she had everything in containers.
A rooftop
because that
patio.
Was her one rooftop area that she could sort of access. It was difficult, but that allowed her to get some sunlight, and everything was growing in containers in that little space. So don't fight what you've got, Allie. If you've got on your front step, or I guess people think they have to have the garden in the backyard, but don't worry about that. You can definitely follow Joanne's lead and put it up on a little balcony somewhere, or put it on a front step. Like, you can grow things, as Steve said, in raised beds. But, you know, a simple plastic pot is a raised bed. So you can think about that, too. If your soil's a real problem, it might be better to let the forest regrow into that area and put your vegetables in pots. Because you want it to be easy and you want it to be fun. You don't want to have to go back there and dread going into that wet, mucky soil.
Okay. Ala, thank you so much for your call. Just one follow-up before I let you two go. I was reading about, Steve, that you could grow those things like lettuce, Swiss chard, that sort of thing in a shady area. My husband and I were talking about that this morning. So they get enough sun to grow?
Yeah. So now I'm not talking about deep, deep shade.
Gotcha.
But
right.
If you have a semi-shaded right. area, then they do very well. In
All
fact,
right.
in the summertime, when it's very hot,
yeah.
they prefer those conditions.
Okay, we're going to give that a go.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you know how it goes. And Donna Balzer, thank you so much for joining us today.
All right. Thank you, Ann.
And Steve Biggs as well. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Ann.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks again to Donna Balzer and Steve Biggs for joining us today. And now with more information on how you can support our station, here's membership manager Rob Walker and morning news anchor Steve Brown.
And thank you very much, Ann. You can support our station, 89.7 NPR News, by pledging at WOSU.org or by calling 1-866-897-9678. You can also use the WOSU Public Media mobile app to send your pledge. And more than ever, you rely on 89.7 NPR News to bring clarity to the day's news. And more than ever, we rely on the money that you give to keep that news on the air. That gift of $60, $120, whatever it is that fits into your budget, it all makes a difference. Again, you can pledge at WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678.
And once again, this hour, we have a nice thank you gift, and we hope you take advantage of that. When you contribute at the $10 a month sustaining membership level or a one-time gift of $120 on your credit card, our gift to you is No Nonsense Vegetable Gardening. It is a great book written by the authors that Ann just had on. Garden coaches tell all, no guff, lots of fun. It's filled with drawings and great pictures, and you can learn how to start a vegetable garden from seed indoors, what to start outdoors. It's got a helpful index, quick referencing, and is our gift to you for a $10 a month sustaining membership level or one-time gift of $120 at 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org.
And this is All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's a two-hour daily talk show, It's unique to 89.7 NPR News. It's not syndicated. It's produced in-house here every day by Ann and her team of producers and interns. There's a lot of production that goes into it, and it really shows. It's a civil conversation about state politics, Columbus city government, the local issues, even more local than that, what's happening in Clintonville with that turn lane up there on North Broadway, lots of other micro local issues, hyper-local issues. And we also broaden it to discussions with people from around the world. It's a really unique show, and it takes a lot of resources to produce. It's a labor of love, though, and we want to keep doing it, but we need your support. So pledge at WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678.
And it's simple to do. We've got some fine folks ready to take your call, or you can go online at WOSU.org. We hope that you consider a sustaining membership in 89.7 NPR News. When you do that, your membership will never expire. Your WOSU member card will renew automatically, and you'll get less mail, which is great for all of us. So consider that sustaining membership right now at $10 a month, and we'll send you the book No Nonsense Vegetable Gardening as our way of saying thank you. 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org. Call or go online right now.
Again, WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678, or you can use the WOSU Public Media mobile app. It's a really great show we're doing here at All Sides with Ann Fisher. It does take a lot of resources, though. And again, 1-866-897-9678. We face a lot of political issues, the economy, health insurance, the Middle East, what's going on with Ukraine and Russian troops. More now than ever, these issues are not just American issues. How the U.S. deals with these huge topics affects people from around the world and everyone around Central Ohio as well. We need your support to keep this programming on the air. 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org.
And when you make that contribution of $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120, our gift to you is the book, The No-Nonsense Vegetable Gardening. It's a thank you gift that we're sending to you. This is a fun and informative book. The book includes lots of pictures and illustrations so you can see exactly what the text is about. You can learn about ruffled kale and a picture of it, what it looks like. You can learn about artichokes and lettuce. And Swiss chard. I just like that name, Swiss chard. So call or go online right now at the $120 membership level or $10 a month as a sustainer, and you'll get that book as our thank you. 1-866-897-9678 or online at WOSU.org.
And it really is an easy to read book. Lots of easy-to-read charts that give you really good detailed information about gardening. It's a really approachable book. It's not intimidating like some other resources, like some horticultural resources can be. You'll look at it and you won't consider it a horticultural book. You'll consider it almost a cartoon book that's really helpful when it comes to gardening. That's your gift at $10 a month. 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org. And when you do give, consider becoming a sustainer. Whatever it is that fits into your budget, become a sustainer. Your membership renews automatically. No more memberships to renew. Your credit card never expires as long as you keep the information up to date. Again, 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org. And this is listener-supported WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus and streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station. Again, 1-866-897-9678 or pledge at WOSU.org.